Welcome back to the Growth in Jams podcast. Today, my guest is Joanne Nguyen. She's here today to talk about becoming a focus missionary, what that entails, and her decision-making process in deciding to become a missionary. We also discuss our goals for the new year and our word of the year. I hope you enjoy the show today. Hi, Joanne. It's a pleasure to be sitting down here with you today talking to you. To get started, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, what you're doing at this present moment, maybe what you did in the last year, just a general foundation for the audience.
Yeah, thank you for having me. So I am currently working as a missionary with Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. So I am serving at Tulane University, and it's actually just my first, I just finished my first semester. So I graduated with you, class of 2020, at the University of Texas. And so I just moved to New Orleans in July. So just wrapped up the first semester. It's been super crazy, but it's been good nonetheless. And I am finishing up my break here at home in Austin right now.
Awesome. That's great to hear. For the audience, why don't you tell them a little bit about what it's like to be a missionary and what that entails for you?
Yeah, so a missionary with Focus is someone that is like kind of like recently graduated from college. So your experience of like being a college student is still very fresh and very new. And so you get sent to these different college campuses. And so I got sent to Tulane, and our goal is to share the gospel with college students. As an organization, the mission is actually to share the gospel with like everyone, but we view a college campus as a really strategic point because it's when everyone is like going in, trying to find their identity, trying to really figure out what they actually believe. And it's honestly a really hard time to keep the faith. And so the college campus is so important because so many young people will leave home and then leave college and really not have like their faith as like a priority in their life. And so as a missionary, I really desire to like bring people into a relationship with Jesus and to know that they are like personally sought after by the Father and to walk with them in their faith journey through college. Yeah, so that's pretty much like the gist of like what we do, but very abstract.
That's so awesome. It's been such a joy to be able to watch you accept that call to service. And I think if I'm correct, you kind of had this pivotal moment after one of the large Catholic conferences that we went to. Why don't you talk a little bit about what that moment was like for you, I guess, and what ultimately led you to divert paths and choose to become a focus missionary instead of or in lieu of what you had planned already?
Yeah, it was honestly a huge pivotal moment. So in college, I was involved in a Bible study through Focus, which was really great. It was how I met a lot of my really close friends now, and all the girls that I lived with senior year of college were all part of that initial Bible study. And so I really saw how like friendships, like meaningful friendships can form through a group like that. And then also, I was so impacted by how leading a Bible study and attending Bible study really strengthened my love for Jesus because I really never read scripture before that. And so having to read scripture in order to lead a Bible study is so hard, but it really transformed my prayer life. Okay, so that was like fall of senior year, and we did go to SLS in Phoenix, which was really, really fun. So I actually really didn't want to go to SLS. in the fall, because I was like, I've already been to like two other Focus conferences, like a lot of the speakers are the same, I really don't want to go, like it's over New Year's, we can do so many other things. But Claire, one of the missionaries at UT, was actually so adamant about me going, not only for myself, but she was like, you need to go so that you can invest in others and invite them to go to this, because sometimes people aren't going to go to something if their friends aren't going to go, if like they don't feel invited, they don't feel wanted, and you have the opportunity to like reach into your friend group, your community, and invite those people and walk with them through this conference. And that really changed my perspective of how to live mission. Before, I thought like I was just going through the motions and like doing all these things, and I didn't realize that the Lord puts you in your community of people, and He surrounds you with people that He desires you to invest in, and only you can do that. And so we went to this conference, and I was just re-convicted of like this need for our personal responsibility for mission. And it really set the ball in motion of like, is the Lord calling me to do this like post-grad, like intentionally? Because everyone is called to live mission in every aspect of your life. But I was trying to figure out if He was asking me to do this like full-time in ministry. And I guess He did, because here I am.
Yeah, that's amazing. I would like to say personally that you're probably one of the only reasons that I did end up going to SLS last year as well. And I can name like five other people that we only went because I think you personally invested in us and were like, I think you need to come and it would be really beneficial for you to come. And I thank you for that because I had a great time and it was super meaningful. Yeah, that's perfect that you said that though, because I think that really hits on the nail of like your call to service and that higher capacity to bring people into that personal invitation, stuff like that.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Why don't you talk a little bit about what your plan was prior to you accepting the call to become a missionary?
Yeah, so I studied biology and minored in sociology and got a certificate in forensic science, which is really useless to me, but I always wanted to go to PA school and I always wanted to work and have a career in healthcare. And that's like definitely still in the plans. I just realized senior year, especially, that I was really following a set path and I've never really taken any steps to diverge from that path. So I never really branched out in terms of like studying different things that really interested me, and not until like senior year. And I felt like I was kind of stuck and or I wasn't taking advantage of like the opportunities in front of me. And so I was always going to take a gap year because one, I wanted to work on like prereqs to get into grad school, but then also I wanted to take a space to like actually figure out what I really desired. So that was always kind of in the plan, taking a gap year. I did not plan on taking two gap years to do focus, but my faith and my relationship with Jesus was so important to me, especially senior year, that I really saw this need to give Jesus the space to steer me off like my own path. So taking a couple years to work for Focus is not necessarily off the path of like what the Lord desired for me. So I'm like still on the right path because the path is to the Father. It's walking to the Father. And so it definitely looks different from what I had planned, but it's not the wrong path. And I've really had to like learn that this semester, which was really, really difficult, but it does give me more confidence in like allowing Him more say in my decisions in the future.
Yeah, that's awesome. Why don't you talk a little bit about some of the challenges that you've had with that, I guess, with that decision-making process, as well as now that you're a missionary, some of the mental gymnastics that you've had to overcome or points of struggle with the decisions and the new path, or not the new path, but the, you know, the alternate path that you've chosen.
This semester has been so tough. So one of the main reasons that I really wanted to become a missionary, especially for Focus, was because I really believed in their mission, which is kind of different from a lot of other like campus ministry types of things. Like I really loved Longhorn Awakening, and that's how we met actually. And like I really, 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 really love Awakening. However, I do think one of the downfalls is that there is a lack of like follow-up post-retreat, and there's a lack of community that continues onward. And so we can fall into like this pattern of like going to retreats, getting a retreat high, and then getting really excited about it and then wanting to serve, but then we really don't have meaningful and like deep relationships with our retreat family sometimes. And so I really love Focus because it's not about like big events, but it's about like personal relationships with others and accountability, and how Jesus has this desire to have that same relationship with you is like very personal. And yeah, it's not about the big events. And so I've always loved that part of the mission of Focus, but I did have a lot of issues with like how Focus plays out on campus sometimes. And I think that is just inevitable because it's run by people and people make mistakes and people hurt others. And so I was really conflicted about like whether or not I wanted to be a part of that kind of ministry. But especially after the conference that we went to, I realized that there was a need for diversity within Focus, especially like cultural and representation from like minorities. Mm-hmm. And I really love that about our Catholic Center at UT because it was so diverse. Mm-hmm. And so you walk in and you'll see someone that's similar to you. You'll find a group of people that they're just so diverse. And I love that you get this mix of people. And I think Focus was really lacking in that. And sometimes you can't change something if you're not a part of it. And so I loved everything about Focus, but I really saw this lack. And I think that lack also caused a lot of hurt with a lot of people. And so I really wanted to be someone that could be a missionary, go on a campus and really speak into the groups of people that don't see anyone like them. And so that was a really big decision-making factor.
I'm glad that you were able to recognize that, maybe take some external voices that you've heard or personal encounters that you've had within Focus that were maybe not so positive and turn them into a positive through your own personal actions. So that's great to hear that you're doing that. Would you say that you're kind of that familiar face for a lot of people now at Tulane? I don't know what the student body composition is like there, but I imagine it's a lot different than UT.
Yeah. Also, UT itself is a very diverse school, which I'm realizing is kind of a rarity. So at Tulane, it's a small private institution. And so it isn't as diverse. I would say this might be like off in terms of like actual numbers, but it's like 80 or 90% like white. Whereas at UT, it's only 60% white, and UT is also a massive campus. And so the numbers are just very different. But there is a small community of Vietnamese students that are from New Orleans or even just attend Tulane. And so I'm really trying to make my way into that group of people because a lot of Vietnamese students do grow up Catholic, and Catholicism is very ingrained in the culture. And so I think it's like one of my goals to be able to lead a Bible study with Vietnamese students or even just like students from other minorities, because I'm actually so fortunate because my freshman Bible study is actually pretty diverse. And I think a lot of those girls are starting to realize like, yeah, there's not a lot of diversity on this campus. and so it would be really cool to like be really intentional with that, but I don't know how to go about that yet.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a work in progress, but that seems like a really hard, you know, hard waters to navigate, I would say, because that's such a pivotal time in these, I don't want to call them kids, but people's lives, because as a freshman, you are so like formidable to the experiences that you have at that point in college, because it's, you know, your first time away from your parents, the first time you're really thinking for yourself and having to make decisions for yourself. And it's really easy, as a lot of people I'm sure have had the same story similar to mine, that you kind of fall away from like what you have been raised with your whole life, and you do a complete 180, and then it takes a lot to get you back to where you want to be or where you were supposed to be. So that's awesome that you're able to be that for a lot of these people, these kids. I don't know.
They're full on adults.
Yeah. These full on adults that are freshmen and so young.
They're 18.
And so, yeah, but that's incredible. I know that we had a conversation in the past about, it was, I think, in John 15, where you talked about your goals like really far down the line and professional wise about opening a clinic. Why don't you talk about where that comes from? I guess why you want to do that and what that looks like to you.
Yeah. So one of the main reasons that I've wanted to work in healthcare was because I saw the need for public health and access to quality healthcare in Vietnam when I went and visited. And yeah, I think being able to care for someone's like physical ailments and like physical needs is a really important way to show our care for them as a human person. And like not having access to that is crazy because we take so much of that for granted. And even just like bare necessities, like being able to like go to a checkup once a year or getting medication that's not super expensive, makes us like so fortunate. And I've seen a lot of like mission groups and groups of people that will go and travel and provide healthcare in like third world countries, but it's very sporadic and it's not consistent. And as much good as it is, because some of those people will actually like not receive healthcare otherwise. And so it is good to an extent, but I really saw the need to have something permanent that is run by the people that live there and that can be consistent over time. And so one of my aspirations really far down the road is to be able to work in one of those clinics, not necessarily open one, but to partner with a group of sisters or some other like religious group that is there permanently, that stays in that community, is a part of that community, and is trusted by those people. And to be able to offer health education classes, even just like teaching people, is a way to empower them. And so I don't know, I just really love that idea. And I don't know how feasible it is, because I'm sure like multiple groups of people have tried this. But yeah, it's definitely something that I would love to be a part of in the future. Yeah.
I think those are great aspirations. And I think it's a great way to incorporate not only your call to service with our Lord, but your living vocation and tying those two together. Because I think a lot of people's, you know, mission and their call to service with faith and then their professional life kind of run parallel to each other and don't really overlap. But that's a great way that I think you can incorporate the both of them.
I have a question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
So at the beginning of like every year, I really like to come up with a word of the year. And I was wondering if you have one for this year or if you had one for last year.
So I had actually never heard of this before until you asked me about it 45 minutes ago. But I did some thinking and some soul searching in that 45 minutes. And I didn't want to choose growth because I felt like that would be, that would be the two in your face, like obvious one. So I chose for this year, elevate, because I think, yes, I had to look up a list of possible words for this year, but this one really stuck out to me. And I think it stuck out to me for a variety of reasons, but I think growth kind of plays into elevation. And I think it's that I feel like my whole like last 4 years has been this huge, massive journey of self improvement and self discovery. And I think this is like finally telling me to not, I guess, close the chapter on that page of my life, but to fully forgive myself for the things that I've done, to rise above them and to really grow and become the person that I'm meant to become in all aspects of my life. So like, I think one of the main things with that is, we talked about faith, but I've mentioned it before and just touched on it, but like really living out my faith life and evangelizing in a way that I haven't done before. And I think that's really important to me because I talked about it in the episode that came out today, but actually, but like the last 6 months of 2020, after being plucked out of like the UCC community, it was really easy for me to fall back into being a passive Catholic. And I was really upset as I reflected on that the last 2 weeks, because I didn't ever want that to happen. I didn't see that happening. And it was very much became a reality for me the last like 6 months of the year with the pandemic and then just losing contact with most of the UCC community almost immediately after graduating. So I think going forward within this year and just in general in life, I really want to, and I feel very called to like become the best version of myself and to just radiate God's love, elevate the people around me, as well as elevate myself so that I can better serve.
That's a good word. I really like that.
Shout out Google. Do you have a word for this year or last year as well?
Okay, so last year I was really bad about this because I narrowed it down to like 8 words and then I never narrowed it down past that. And so I just like forgot about all of them. So this year I'm still processing it, but my 2 words are found and wholeness. So they kind of are related. So one of the themes in my prayer recently has been about gazing into the eyes of the Father and how I'm unable to do that. And so I've been praying with John 21, which is the story of Jesus appearing to the disciples after he is resurrected. And so they're fishing, and then he's like, oh, come eat breakfast, my favorite Bible quotes. And then he is walking with Peter and asks Peter, Peter, do you love me? And he asked him that three times. And so I've been praying with that. And I was actually talking to my spiritual director like 2 months ago. And I was like complaining about some of the hard parts of like being a missionary and all these things, how talking a lot about all these external factors that are making my life hard. And he was like, okay. But do you ask Jesus, do you love me? And I'm like, no, because I'm scared of what Jesus is going to say. And so I'm realizing he's like, all right, you need to put yourself in the scene, do some Ignatian meditation with this passage. And like, that's all you're allowed to pray with for the next month. which is really hard because I don't like sticking to something like that for a long time. So it was really challenging, but I did that. And for the first like 3 weeks that I was praying with that, I was just like, playing in the sand and I couldn't look up at Jesus and ask him that question. And so that is where I got the word found, because I realized that I do want to be found by the Lord. And it doesn't mean that I need to do all these things. And that is like also one of the things I've been praying with, because mission is your job. Like you feel like you have to do all these things, like all these works, and it's your actions that matter, when that is so not true. And you just have to allow yourself to be found by the Lord, because he is seeking for you. And so that is something that I really want to embody this year going forward, of not being scared to look at the Father, not hiding, but allowing myself to be found. And then the other word, wholeness, comes from the same idea, but more I have to be a certain version of myself with like this group of people versus like with my students, with like my non-Christian friends. And that is not being true to yourself, and that's not being authentic. And so I want to not hide the parts that I'm scared people are going to reject. And so being found by others, but then also like having a sense of like wholeness of myself and like being proud of myself.
I really like that. Both of those, and especially the second one, because I feel a lot of that as well. I feel like I'm definitely not, I would say, multiple people, but I do conceal a lot of the things that I truly believe, truly feel, and maybe even change my behavior ever so slightly around different groups of people in order to maybe not be off-putting and overbearing. But I think part of Elevate for me as well can be being called to be a full self, my full sense of self, I guess.
Yeah, and it's hard, and I feel like it's something we're never going to fully achieve either. But just striving for that.
Definitely. Those are really good. How long had you been praying on those things and thinking about those things? And when did those words really come to you?
So I was in Colorado with this group of people when it was New Year's Eve. And because it was mountain time, which is like 2 hours after the New York ball drop, we had to stay up a whole extra 2 hours. And so we spent that time writing down our grievances for the year and then burning them in the fire. Really dramatic, but yes. It was so good because I was like, I actually really needed that, you know? And so we were doing a lot of reflection and we were talking about words of the year, and I really wanted to do a better job of actually choosing something and sticking to it in 2021. And so that was the first time that I was really reflecting on like how I wanted to grow from this past year. And just over the past 2 days, I've been still thinking about it. And so those words have stuck, and hopefully they will for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's awesome. That last bit that you were talking about with just having that like conversation with those people in Colorado, that's something that I do want to incorporate more of in my life, because I feel like my conversations with people from either the UCC community or just people that are really striving in their faith are very different from like people that are not, and those people that are outside that realm. What experience have you had, or what advice can you relay to have and make those conversations equally as fruitful? Like, how can you, I guess it goes into that wholeness, but just how can you have those meaningful conversations with people without being overbearing?
Yeah, it's actually so crazy, because this group of friends that I went to Colorado with, I've known a lot of them since like high school. And I think all of us believe very different things. And so some of them, I would say, like, are more agnostic, believe in God, but don't believe in Jesus or the church. A lot of them have had like kind of like dynamic relationships with Christianity. And so not entirely sure what they believe, but they are very curious people and very inquisitive. And I think you can ask a lot of questions about life and relational issues and honestly just like big questions without necessarily having to stem from your faith. And so I think it's a really good way to approach groups of people that might not have the same beliefs as you, but you can then still add your faith into your answers or like incorporate it still in a way, because like that is your honesty and that is your belief, and it's a good thing to share. So the questions themselves don't have to stem from like Christianity or Jesus or anything like that, but you can still share your faith through this conversation.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Okay, I don't.
Yeah, because I don't know, I feel like maybe this is an overgeneralization, but when it comes to like deeper talks in life, it seems like women are able to more so have those conversations and are willing to communicate in those ways. But for a lot of the guy friends I have, we just talk about mind-numbing stuff like sports all the time. And sometimes I do want to challenge our friendships and relationships to grow in a bigger way than that. So yeah, honestly, that is also like part of my resolution this year.
I think about like what actually happens in guy conversations.
It's a lot of just staring at each other, waiting for someone to cave. Like what I've experienced with being both a Bible study leader and in things like Life Teen, where you're leading younger men in conversation, is everyone's just so nervous to be brave, you know? Everyone's so unwilling to, and maybe self-conscious to have those conversations and be vulnerable.
Yeah. So I've realized this semester that women's ministry and men's ministry is so different. So one of my teammates, he said that like some of the best times that he had like in Bible study as a college student was when they would have Bible study and then all go to Costco like right after together.
That's awesome.
I was like, what kind of what? Like, I would not be down to do that. And then so he was leading a Bible study with some of the junior and senior guys, and he was like, you know what we're doing today? We're having a chicken nugget contest. And Megan's my teammate, and we were like, guys are coming to that? Like, they're interested?
We're so easily entertained.
Yeah.
The bar is so low for us, but that's amazing. Well, I've really enjoyed this conversation. Do you have anything else that you would like to input before we wrap this up? General advice, things that we didn't touch on, anything you would like to share?
I want to know if you have any goals for this year in terms of like learning something new.
I feel like I have a lot of very different, like they're very all over the place goals in terms of this, because I'm really interested in a variety of things. But in terms of learning new things, I recently picked up archery.
What?
And yes, I am now Katniss Everdeen.
Oh my god,
I really like it. It's really soothing. And like, I've always grown up around like guns and like hunting and stuff like that. Yeah, but I feel like archery is much more of like a mental gymnastic than a physical one. So I really enjoyed that. But in terms of learning, I feel like you're not taking me seriously. But
I've never heard of that.
You heard it here first. But in terms of learning new things, I think, I don't know, I've always been really interested in coding. And like, I took MIS in college and I was like really a fan of like HTML, SQL. And I've been kind of like wanting to do this for the last 6 months, but haven't pushed myself. And I really just want to teach myself like either Python or C++ or one of those things,
so,
and dive
useful
all in. Yeah, for sure. So it's just very like unrelated, I guess, to like what I'm doing with my life. But maybe it's just a mental challenge that I want to accomplish.
Yeah. But also like hobbies should be unrelated, you know?
That's a good point. This podcast is very unrelated to a lot. But yeah.
Wow, that sounds like such a better goal than mine. Mine is just to become better at rollerblading.
That is amazing.
Say with a straight
Actually,
face.
Carissa and I recently, like 2 weeks ago, we went to our hometown has a roller skating rink, and I didn't know this, but on Thursday night from like 7 to 11, it's BYOB, and
Whoa.
you just go out there and you blade and you roller
Wait,
skate.
that sounds so
It
fun.
was so fun. I'm not even gonna lie. I hadn't been since like middle school. Like,
Yeah.
okay, personal disclosure, I lived at the roller skating rink in middle school. I loved it. That was my life. I was a very seen kid, and I just wanted to
Could you go
vibe. And
backwards?
in my blades, yes. In roller skates, I was never that
Dang.
good, and I'm like scared to get back on the blades. But yeah, I was having a great time. So I like that goal.
Oh, also, I'm really just saying this to hold Phoebe accountable, but we've been talking about Vacation Races, which is the organization that puts on like half marathons and marathons at national parks. And so Phoebe and I have been talking about this for like 2 years, and so I'm speaking it into existence here that we will be doing one in the
This
near
year.
future. Maybe not this year, maybe next year.
Those are really cool. I actually am so glad I got to have the opportunity to watch y'all cross the finish line in Austin. That feels
Dude,
like so long ago, but that was really
yeah.
like last year.
Honestly, like I think about that and it still makes me emo because so many people came out and we just felt like so loved. And even though like it was like physically painful, it was just so like fun at the same time
Yeah.
because y'all were all there. It was just great.
Well, I commend y'all for that because I cannot stand running. I played
Dude, me
soccer.
neither. I still hate it.
I played soccer and would run like 6 miles a game, and then I try to run like without that ball, and it's like I can't run like a mile and a half. I'm like dying.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Yeah.
that was great.
I need to get back into it. Maybe that'll be my new hobby.
I miss a lot of people from the UCC.
Yeah. It's like so hard because like it was such an abrupt ending.
Yeah. I always look back on that and I'm like, my whole fall semester, I was like, oh, I don't need to, commemorate or like have a good time,
Yeah.
or I'll get to do that in the spring. And then all of a sudden, second half of spring got completely stripped away. And I was like, I literally didn't do anything I wanted to do before I left here. Sad, but it's okay. All right. Well, if there's nothing else that you would like to share, then I want to thank you again for doing this. I know it's a little bit maybe daunting, awkward, weird, but thank you for being here and sharing your life journey. It's been such a joy to watch you grow into the person that you become, to accept this call to higher service. And I look forward to continuing our friendship and watching you grow.
Hey, thank you for having me again. It's always good to see you.
Of course. All right.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Growth and Jams podcast. My name is Saul. We are hosted by 1718 Media. If you enjoyed the show today, please feel free to give it a rating in the podcast app. Also, follow us on social media at Growth and Jams. Thank you for tuning in.